It was a 10-wheel ride straight north toward the Salt Hills. We went with Sheriff Peavy, Kellen Fry, the good deputy, and Fry's son, Vicka. The NG, whose name turned out to be Travis, also came along, for he'd spent the night at the Fry's place. We pushed our mounts hard, but it was still full daylight by the time we got to the Jefferson spread. At least the wind, which was still strengthening, was at our backs. Peavy thought Canfield was a pokey, which is to say, a wandering cowboy not signed to any particular ranch. Some such turned outlaw, but most were honest enough, just men who couldn't settle down in one place. When we rode through the wide stock gate with Jefferson posted over it in white birch letters, two other cowboys, his mates, were with him. The three of them were bunched together by the shake pole fence of the horse corral, which stood near the big house. A half a mile or so north, standing atop a little hill, was the bunkhouse. From this distance, only two things looked out of place. The door at the south end of the bunkie was unlatched, swinging back and forth in the alkali wind, and the bodies of two large black dogs lay stretched on the dirt. We dismounted, and Sheriff Peavy shook with the men, who looked mightily glad to see us.
"Aye, Bill Canfield, see you very well, pokey fella."
The tallest of them took off his hat and held it against his shirt. "I ain't no pokey no more, or maybe I am, I don't know. For a while here I was Canfield of the Jefferson, like I told whoever answered the goddamn speaky, because I signed on just last month. Old man Jefferson himself oversaw my mark on the wall, but now he's dead like the rest of them." He swallowed hard. His Adam's apple bobbed up and down. The stubble on his face looked very black because his skin was very white. There was drying vomit on the front of his shirt. "His wife and daughters have gone into the clearing, too. You can tell 'em by their long hair and their... Aye, man, Jesus, you see a thing like that and it makes you wish you were born blind." He raised his hat to his face to hide it and began to weep. One of Canfield's mates said, "Is those gunslingers, Sheriff? Mighty young to be hauling iron, ain't they?"
"Never mind them," said Peavy. "Tell me what brought you here."
Canfield lowered his hat. His eyes were red and streaming. "The three of us was camped out on the pure. Roundin' strays we were, and camped for the night. Then we heard screaming start from the east. Woke us from a sound sleep because we was that tired. Then gunshots, two or three of them. They quit, and there was more screaming, and something big, roaring and snarling." One of the others said,
"Sounding like a bear."
"No, it didn't," said the third, "never at all."
Canfield said, "Knew it was coming from the ranch, whatever it was. Had to have been 4 wheels from where we were, maybe 6, but sound carries on the pure, as you know. We mounted up, but I got here way ahead of these two because I was signed and they're yet pokies."
"I don't understand," I said.
Canfield turned to me.
"I had a ranch horse, didn't I? A good un. Snip and Arn there had nothing but mules. Put 'em in there with the others."
He pointed into the corral. A big gust of wind blew through just then, driving dust before it, and all the livestock galloped away like a wave.
"They're still spooked," Kellen Fry said.
Looking toward the bunkhouse, the NG, Travis, said,
"They ain't the only ones."